For tonight. Get prepared for that. I'm going to take the prayer request at this time. We got several needs. They asked us to pray for Sister Sue Sims. Her sister went to be with the Lord yesterday, so let's remember Sister Sue. Also, Ruth Ann Carter turns in requests. Sister Ruth Ann for Teresa Shorts, Aunt Fern. She's diabetic. She's got kidney failure right now. Also, a prayer request for Brother Gene Littleton. Very feeble. Can't get around. So let's remember Brother Gene. Mary Williams has a special need. She wants the church to pray about that God will work everything out. Brother Louis called, asked me to lead singing tonight. He said that he was sick in body and just asked that we turn in a request for Brother Louis tonight. So let's please remember Brother Louis. Kimberly Dixon has a symptoms of a gallbladder attack. She's feeling very bad and a lot of pain. Thank you for praying for her. So Sherry Wiggins turns that in. Sister Boone in church tonight, she's turned in a thank you to the Lord Jesus and her church family for the prayers, for the card and the gift basket. She said, I'm doing better now. Have another test on Wednesday. Pray everything will be well. So we'll pray with you on that, Sister Boone, for sure. Please pray for Traveling Mercy, for Brother Jerry and Sister Deanna Glenn. They're on their way to Ohio. So just remember that. Brother Junior Davis wants to give a testimony tonight. He just wants to thank everyone for their prayers. My blood levels are good, so I get to continue coming to church, which means so much to me. So it means a lot to us to see you here, Brother Junior. Thank you, brother. We're just so blessed to have him here with us. We thank the Lord for that. Brother Randy Scott turns in a prayer request for a friend of mine's sister. Her name is Michelle. Her kidneys have shut down. She's on life support. Also remember my friend Andrew. He had a shoulder operation on Monday where they removed a rib in order to access it, and he's in a lot of pain. So let's remember those needs tonight. Stan, and we'll ask Brother Aaron Oglesby if he don't mind to come. He's visiting us from Brother Tim's church down in Louisiana this week. So let's ask him to come and take these needs of the Lord. Let's sing that one more time. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, high and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a
Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to tell you, Lord, what an honor it is, Lord God, to come together with believers of like precious faith tonight, Lord, to come together in your presence, knowing, Lord God, that you promised you would be here and that you have never failed and you're not going to start failing now. So, Father, we bring these requests to you knowing, Lord, that we can come with confidence. And Lord God, these people ask because they know that you not only are a God of the past, a God of the future, but you're a God of right now. And we're just so thankful, Lord God, that we can come together bind together with other believers and know that with our faith together, nothing is impossible. Lord God, we thank you. We pray for each one of these needs, Lord. I cannot recount them all, but Lord God, you knew about them before they were written down, and you care. And Lord God, that means so much to us to know that you care. So Lord God, I pray you'll meet each one of these needs. We thank you for the testimony of Brother Junior. It means so much knowing that you still work on our behalf, Father. Lord God, anoint each one tonight. Anoint the song leader. Anoint the song service. Anoint us to worship, Father. May you be pleased with our worship. Anoint the speaker tonight, Lord. Not only the speaker, but anoint us to hear. Father, we pray, Lord, that we not only be hearers of the word, but doers also. Be with us this night, we pray, Father. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Aaron. Another testimony that was just turned in, Sister Ellie Parker is in the service tonight. So we also want to thank the Lord for that. And with that in mind, Brother Junior here, Sister Ellie here, Sister Boone here, we'll stand and sing this chorus together, and then we'll let you be seated. Let's sing this together. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you came. Through your precious blood, I found pardon. And my sins are washed. They're all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed away. One more time. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you came. Through your precious blood, I found pardon. Brothers would like to come lift the offering today, tonight. Let's sing together, Didn't I Walk on the Water? G. I played golf with Brother David Seiler today. He sung this song all day long, so he's got it stuck in my head. So good song. Well, as I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle out in front of me, and I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. But he said I walked on the water, said my bills are coming due, Lord, and 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so still and low that says I moved like that before, and I'll do this little thing, and I'll give you so much more. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you
tattooed it on the
page. Amen. Amen. Appreciate that. Tonight, Sister Savannah Ward has a song for us tonight. So she'd like to come ahead and sing for us. Also, they have rescheduled a household shower for John and Haley. It's been moved back to Thursday, June the 20th, 2013 at 6 p.m. It'll still be held in the fellowship hall. So that's June the 20th at 6 o'clock. In Jesus' name we press on. Let's stand tonight. Brother Donnie gets ready to come speak to us. That was a great song. That was wonderful.
In Jesus' name we press on. In Jesus' name, we press on.
Tonight, by God's grace, let's turn to the book of Revelation, if you would, chapter 22, verse 14. I'd like to speak to you again tonight on Even So, Come, Lord Jesus. Revelation 22, 14. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. In the churches. So it must have been important, I guess, to go to church, you think? Amen. So if you didn't go to church, I guess you didn't know what Jesus was saying? Amen. Kind of the same way today. Amen. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst not say come, but come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now listen to this verse carefully again. And the Spirit and the bride say come. And let him that heareth say come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Bunch of people. Bunch of different groups of people, sounds like. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we so love you tonight. We want to thank you that we have the privilege, Lord, that we could gather together here in this place, the concrete that made these floors, the blocks that made the wall, the sheetrock that covered it, the paint, the oak trim, the carpet on the floor. This building material could have wound up in a honky-tonk, could have wound up in an arena, in a coliseum, all different types of places. It was not that the shingles were special, or the trusses, or the nails, or the material that was built, used to build this building. But what makes it special is because you have accepted this place and hallowed it with your presence. And then we have consecrated it to be a place of worship, adoration, and of hearing your word. Tonight I pray that you would take these things in the scriptures, speak to our hearts, Lord. We desire to respond according to what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let's look back, if you would, to verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. So the bridegroom in verse 16, verses 14, 15, and 16 is leading up to verse 17. The bridegroom is saying he is going to come, that he will advance his appearing. Verse 17 is the bride's response to what was said in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And verse 17 is the bride's response. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. So Jesus announcing the prophetic events that are going to transpire over these seven church ages that are in the future from the time this was given. 2,000 years down through time it will be. But the bride, when she hears it, she responds in a way of invitation. Now listen, he makes the announcement that his word will be fulfilled. He will do this and this and this and this. And then he identifies himself as who he is. And her response corresponds to what he had said. But her response is an invitation, an open invitation from her soul to be exactly what he wanted to hear. Now, can you imagine if Jesus says all these things and the bride says, wait a little longer, please, Jesus. I got a few more million I want to make. Wait a little longer, please, Jesus. You see, the Spirit in the bride would never say that. Now, whenever Jesus made this announcement, then the Spirit of God in the bride, so it was that the Spirit in the bride responds in the proper way. Now, if you notice these other groups of people, they didn't say that. But it was only the spiritual bride. Notice the way John says it again. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. So the bride, filled with the Spirit, stands, as it were, with hands extended, with souls touched by his presence, that she responds to what he says in the right way. And what was her response? Come. Come. Now, we know that down through every age, that since the Lord Jesus has ascended up into the heavens 2,000 years ago, that they preached and believed that his coming was close at hand. And they must do that because they was not going to live forever in this mortal life. So they had to live every day as if though that would be their last day, or as if though that would be the day that he would come. So what's an amazing thing is that the elect of God have died down through the ages for 2,000 years, and they have died under the same expectation that the coming of the Lord would be in their generation. Now, if they lived to be older men and women and they still held on to that, and then maybe right up to their deathbed still expecting the same thing, and they could go down into the channel of death and still expecting, well, all of my life I believed I'd see him come. All of my life. Now, you know what? This was the way that they crossed over Jordan. Those are the ecclesia, or the elect of God in every day. Because the Spirit of God in them was not drunk on the things of this world. That they were so wrapped up in the world, but they worked, they made a living, they done all that sort of thing. But yet that was trivial. That was way back here. That was not really why they were living. They were living for the coming of the Lord Jesus. So whenever he does come, those who had that spirit in their day will be the very ones that will arise, and that expectation will be fulfilled, even though they had that expectation 1,500 years ago.
Because they died under that anticipation of the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now the Spirit in the bride will say, come. Now notice John says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. So it is those who are loving His appearing, those who have this abiding presence in them that is inviting Him to the earth. Now, you know, it's not just by saying it by our mouth, but it's the way we live, that if we hear Jesus through His ministry talking about getting ready to leave this world and lay this aside and get perfect love and do this and do that, then if you've got the Spirit of God in you, it should respond back to Him saying, Lord, help me to get perfect love. Lord, help me to lay aside this. Lord, help me to be like you. Why? Because the Spirit is anointing the men of God to say that, and the Spirit and the bride will come right back and say, amen, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. That's right, Lord. I want to be ready. So what spirit then is it on people when they hear men of God preach such things and they would ridicule or make fun of, or I don't like that, oh, it's a bunch of nonsense, I don't care what they say. Well, you know, the Spirit of God will have to witness the same. So if it witnesses it in Jesus, it witnesses it back in the bride, if it witnesses it through the ministry, the preparation for the time we're in, and what the Bible calls present truths, then those who have that spirit will have to witness right back the same thing and say, come, Lord Jesus. Now watch how that this is the call of the bride to her Lord, entreating Him to come and rule in righteousness. Now, she's not doing it, of course, selfishly, but yet she does know that when He comes, it will bring her ultimate change. And it will also position her in that position that she has desired to be in, and that is the throne queen by her king. Now, notice then the spirit of the bride say, come, and let him that heareth. So, now I want you to notice this. You know, because we are in the message and following the teaching of Brother Branham, people have alluded to and believed, and maybe many of us have believed the same thing, but we were the only ones that believed there was a bride, that believed there was an elected, believed there was a called out. And many of the people who have now turned against us and are criticizing us, they think that many of these things we believe and preach. Brother Branham was the first one to believe them, or first one to preach them. But let me read you a couple of things. The bride are those who are married to Jesus Christ in every generation, who will live in the New Jerusalem, which is the bride, the Lamb's wife. This wasn't from Brother Branham. This was from Phineas Dake. John Gill says, the Spirit and the bride signify one and the same. Namely, the spiritual bride of Christ, who is sanctified by the Spirit of God, even all the elect of God, whom Christ loved from all eternity, and who are espoused to Him as a chaste virgin. Back in the 1600s. So now watch, Brother Branham was sent then to gather the loose ends of all of these things. So this is not something that just started in this century of believing that there was a bride and believing that there was an elect of God and that there was different groups and categories of people. But yet it seems to be because Satan under Laodicea is doing all that he's doing, that people want to make this as if though it's some kind of strange doctrine. But remember, Jesus, when He came to the earth, He was the one who projected the different categories. John the Baptist was the first one to mention about the bride. So this was not founded in this day. This was not hatched out under the ministry of Brother Branham, but it was something that God, before the foundation of the world, designated and decreed that it would be thus, that there would be some on the earth who would actually be a part of His own being. They were in His thinking before the world began, and there's nothing they can do or the devil can do or anybody else can ever change the quality of who they are. Amen. They are part of God's representation in eternity, and this is merely a short span of time which they will express that, and they will go back into eternity where they came from. They will have the ability to hear what the Spirit says under their messenger. They will be the final voice to the final age. Now, Brother Branham might have been the first one to say it quite in that way, but if you'll notice here, John is catching the essence of the bride's position whenever he separates her earth whenever he said the Spirit and the bride say come, and let him that hears, let him say come. So here is a group then that is called the bride, and they are not coming because they hear. They are coming because they are part of the word. So here John said the Spirit and the bride say come, and then let other people that will hear, let them say come too. And what are they doing? They are repeating what they have heard the final voice of the final age say. Glory. This other group that is coming because they heard, they was not the ones doing the initial speaking about the parousia of Christ. It was not them that was saying, well, let him come first. It was not them. But they followed the bride as the bride heard the voice of God. Well, praise the Lord. Now notice that the Spirit and the bride express the same desire that Christ Jesus expresses himself, and that is the earnest desire to come and redeem those subjects from the earth. So the bride hears that, and she responds in the same way. Even so, come Lord Jesus. This is what John says. Now, so then the bride, the elect of God, they hear the voice, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth. Now watch then, so the Spirit of God anoints the bride, she catches what Jesus says, she responds in the proper response, and then there are other people who follow her response, but it does not mean that they'll ever become bride. You know myself, friends, if I can help a foolish virgin, I'm gonna do it. If I can be kind to somebody that's lost and going to hell, it might be the only Jesus they ever see till they see the white throne. I'd rather for them to know a Jesus lives and be kind to them and do what I can do, whether or not they bride, whether or not they ever come here, that does not make any difference to me. I want people to know there is a God who has a living bride who lives in his body on the earth today. Now, Donnie Reagan has a limited amount of kindness, a limited amount of love, a limited amount of a lot of things, but my daddy is unlimited. So you know what? If I'm tied into him, I can love a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, a Catholic. I can love the Pope. I can love the President, the Vice President. I can hug the neck of a Democrat or a Republican or a Libertarian or a Nonitarian or whatever they are. Don't make a bit of difference to me, because I want to live in such a way that Jesus Christ can so live out of my life that I can love in my circle, out of my circle. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? In my category, out of my category, into categories that are so beneath me that they'll bow down whenever we come into the city. I still want to love them. Why? That's what I see my Father doing. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He makes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. Of course, some of us wouldn't do that. If we had control of the sun, we'd only shine it on our four and no more. You're not thinking like Jesus, though, when you think like that. Now, the Spirit and the bride say, come. They catch the motivation of God for the present truth, and they know how to respond. Now, then he that heareth what? He that heareth. Now, what if this heareth group would have responded first? What would they have said? What would they have said? They would not have said the same thing the spiritual bride said. They could not, because they do not have the ability in the same communion and unction from the Holy Ghost to say what the bride said. Look, friend, you realize that God has got all kinds of different people. When God was dealing with Abraham, there was a man over there by the name of Abimelech, and God had chosen Abraham to be a chosen, elected person. Abimelech was not that type of person. Abimelech was not an elect type seed of God, but yet Abimelech came to God and he said, God, you know the integrity of my heart. You know that man told me that this was his sister. He said, I know the integrity of your heart, and that's why I would not allow you to sin against me. And yet he was not elect, and he said, you call for that man to pray for your family, or y'all going to die. And yet Abraham had lied. So you're going to have a lying prophet, a man which had lied, to pray for a man which had more integrity? Abimelech had not lied. He had been deceived. But he was not elect. Well, y'all gonna be quiet on me now. Brother Donnie, that's Baptist doctrine. It is no such a thing. That's God doctrine. That's the Bible. That is the Bible. God said, you call him for he is my prophet. His mistakes meant nothing to God. His mistakes meant absolutely nothing to God. He was God's chosen prophet and nothing would change that. Hallelujah. So then the bride, with the indwelling presence of Christ, responds properly according to what Jesus says in this book of Revelation, the book of Apocalypse, which is the unveiling. And then there was another group that heard the bride say, come. And then when they heard what the bride said, then they started saying the same thing what the bride said, but it was more like a second-handed revelation to them. Now, it don't mean that they can't go on, that they can't get good things from God, but the Bible does not say the Spirit and the one that heareth say come, or the Spirit and him that's athirst come. The Bible identifies the Spirit with the first group, which is the bride. Praise the Lord. The Spirit and the bride say come. Now notice, her identity is with the Spirit. But look at the next group. And let him that heareth say come. Don't identify him with the Spirit at all. Read your Bible. The Bible don't say him that heareth and him that hath the Spirit. How can the foolish virgins be filled with the Holy Ghost in their soul and go through the tribulation? How can they be under the blood and the blood speaking for them as being totally sinless and go through the tribulation period? Totally impossible. Well, friend, whether or not you understand it, this is where many folks around the message are. They're in this category right here. They have heard the bride say, God sent a prophet, and they started saying. They heard the bride say, serpent seed, and they start saying. Some of them are raised up in their homes, and they were taught that by parents. And then when they get older, because there's no responding seed in their soul, and they go to school, and they go to question, how come this? Why do you wear dresses? How come you do that? How come you do that? And they, I don't know. I mean, our preacher says we do it. I don't know. I mean, we just do. And then some smart person, some professor, some theologian, well, the Bible don't say nothing about makeup. The Bible don't say nothing about Bible say anything about a woman in pants. It doesn't in those words. But the Bible does say a woman's supposed to wear modest apparel. And she can't do it. She's got on breeches. Well, glory. Hallelujah. But you realize then, for those who are elect, they hear the present truth. They hear what God is saying, and they have the ability not only to hear it, but they have the ability to want to live it. And to them, it ain't bondage. It's not legalism at all to quit this and quit that and quit that. You know, other stuff. Oh, since I quit having a, oh, now I can wear jeans and I can get my hair cut and I feel so free. Any of you sisters here want that kind of freedom? That's reprobate freedom. That's seared conscience freedom. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not you shall know worldliness, and worldliness shall make you free. Well, praise the Lord. You sisters who sat here tonight and dressed the way you do, and if you do it by revelation, you are free. You're free from the world. You're free from all that stuff. No matter what other people say. Oh my, you imagine how Miss Lott must have posted it on her website while I left the message. While I left following the prophet Abraham. No doubt her and Mr. Lott started up a website. Now they had a bunch of followers, remember. There was enough followers so they got in fights with Abraham's shepherds. So no doubt they had a big following, a lot of forums and a lot of YouTube videos and all kinds of stuff they put on there. Why? I no longer believe Abraham was a prophet of God. I heard him in my own lies lie down in Egypt. He taught me for years I was the heir. And then whenever he got that that messed up. Then I heard him teach Ishmael that he was the heir. Then he changed his mind and said Isaac was. Then no doubt there was ex-followers going to listen. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what I'm. All preachers, of course. A computer and Facebook makes everybody a preacher. Hey, if it's wrong for you to get up here and handle the Word of God behind this pulpit, there's no difference in you sitting at your computer. Saints of God, remember, Satan is trying his best to pull you laity into positions you do not belong. Many of you would never get a Bible or a bunch of quotes and walk up behind this pulpit and say the same things you say on your Facebook and this and that and the other, and let Satan pull you in to a position to handle this word when you're not called to do it. Well, praise the Lord. That's what the Spirit says. What does the bride say in response? Does a doctor's book make your son a doctor? Man, if you can do a Google search and a Yahoo search now, you know everything every doctor knows. We go in and sit down and tell the doctors. I imagine these poor doctors are about nuts now, wouldn't you? Because time we go in and sit down, we've got this, you know, look in our eye. We've done diagnosed ourselves. We've done know everything we've got. And they've got to go through all that. I know how that feels being a preacher, because it's kind of the same thing preaching to people. Oh, my. That's the age we're in. What is it? Laodicea, people's rights. And right in the middle of people's rights, God wants sheep who'll give up theirs. Oh, glory. Now watch, so the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come, or express his wishes or desires to have of the same thing. But it don't say the Spirit in him said that. But he heard. Now let him hear, and then he that heareth say, come. And then let him that is athirst. Now so one hears, and then he responds and said, that's right. I believe that. I believe this is true. So come. Come. And then another one says, I'm so thirsty. I'm so thirsty for God. I'm so thirsty. Let him that's athirst, let him come. Now notice, neither one of these categories, though, does it say the Spirit and, Spirit and. The Spirit and is only the first group. Let him that is athirst come. Now, I know you don't understand, maybe not realize it now, but what we're reading in verse 17 is both sections from this book of the Lamb. The first part of the verse was a special section called the Lamb's Book of Life. The other groups are in the Book of Life. Now, the mercy of God was so bountiful that it spilled over beyond just the elect or the ecclesia on over into him that heareth, let him come. Even though I did not predestinate you to be a part of my thoughts from the foundation of the world, if you want to come, come on. And then the others of you that have a soul and have a desire, your name was not foreknown by me in my special section, but you thirst. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to be lost. Come. Y'all can go too. Come on. In Genesis 24, whenever Eliezer goes out to get the bride, Rebecca came following a man back to Isaac. But if you read your scripture real close, you'll find out she wasn't the only one that came back. But she brought back maidens with her. But you don't find the maidens going into the tent to get married. Even though they was following the same message right back to where Isaac was, yet their identity changed. Their location changed. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you understand there was people when Brother Branham was here that followed Brother Branham afar off, and they were led out. They never led into the tent, but they were led out of their past life. There are people, no doubt, in this day that the message will affect their life. They'll never embrace it like the bride, but yet they acknowledge this was a man sent from God, and it will lead them out of where they were. They'll never go into the tent, and they'll live outside the tent, but at least they will live. At least they will escape the destruction.
So let him that's athirst come. You don't want to go to hell? You don't have to. But Brother Donnie, if I ain't bright, I ain't. You sorry piece of dirt. What makes you think you're the one who calls the shots of who you are and who you are? Brother, if I'm bright, it's because he chose me, not because I chose him. I believe by God's grace I am, but it wasn't my choice. It wasn't how good I was. It wasn't that I was a better person than some other members of my family. It's because I caught a seed of God that was ordained before the foundation of the world. But there might be other members of my family that love God, and they will come up, and you know what? They may have heard me say something, or they may have heard somebody else say something, or they had a thirst down inside the heart and say, God, I don't want to die lost. I don't want to go to hell. And God said, come. You're thirsty, you want to be saved? Come.
What a father. What a loving father. What a loving father.
Now notice how God puts this group. Notice where they're identified. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Do you notice this is not said about the bride? The bride and whosoever will. It's himsoever that willed. It ain't me whosoever willed. And you swear, I made up my mind, you baloney. You never done no such a thing. He made up his mind before there was ever an atom or a molecule of life. The bride is not the whosoever will, but aren't you glad that God is so merciful that he's got a group and a category that hears, and another group that says, I'm thirsty, and a group that he can say, if you want to come, come on. You've got a soul. You've got a choice. Whosoever will, let him come. Friends, what is it about us message folks that wants to keep folks out? What is it about us that we want to keep people out? Out of our church, out of our circle, out of our fellowship, out of eternity? But yet the Bible tells me it's not his will that any should perish. God never even determined that there would be one. It's not his will, his wish, his desire that any should perish. Well, then if it's our will that they should, there's something wrong.
Praise the Lord. So if a Catholic man wants to come to Jesus and get saved, of course he can't go through the secretary, we know that. Won't do no good to go to the Holy Father. It needs to go to the Heavenly Father. If a Baptist wants to get saved, my God, if a message person wants to get saved, I still believe in miracles. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life. But notice, it's not the Spirit. It's not the indwelling deity of God. It's placed on what? Look at it. Read your Bible. Them. Whosoever will.
But the elect will be there with or without your will. And most of you never come to God because you wanted to anyhow. He grabs you up by the neck and the neck, smacks you around, smacks you in the face, kicks you in the seat, the britches, sends you up to the altar, and you started praying, got filled with the Holy Ghost. Many of you women didn't want to get rid of your mascara. You thought you looked too pretty in it. You didn't want to get rid of your jeans. Many of you folks didn't want to get rid of your country music. Come on, church! It wasn't you glory to God. I grabbed a hold of the horns of the altar. No, you didn't. He grabbed a hold of yours. Amen. He grabbed a hold of that old rebellious nature, that there was something down on the inside. A predestinated seed that was calling for life. And when you embrace that, my brother, oh, Brother Donnie, can I live any way I want to? If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you live the way He wants you to. And if there's something in you that lives contrary to that word, you ain't got the Holy Ghost yet. Look at these words. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will. It's amazing to me that preachers, theologians, laity, whatever more, through the ages have read this verse of scripture and left out all these categories. But it wasn't us that categorized it. It was John being written, being led of the Holy Ghost to write this way. You believe it. But when he says this, whosoever will, it goes from a monarch and potentates to street people who live under bridges. I sit in Bombay, India several years ago. Thousands and thousands of people living on the streets. There's so many of them. They don't have enough police to stop them. Cardboard houses, pieces of tin. I'm talking about they're downtown. They're downtown and there's thousands of them. This will be your house and mine will be right here. I mean, just one right against another, just like that. You don't even know one another. And they're stacked 3 and 4 deep. Thousands of them. But when Jesus said this, it included the rich, the potentates, the governors, the kings, the royal families, so-called. And it included people that ain't never owned a house in their life. Whosoever will, let them come. Notice the mercy of God, how abundant it is to go beyond lines, colors, races, to go beyond, oh, hallelujah. Anybody that would hear it, they will never be bribed. They'll never walk in the character of Abraham. They may never be nothing but a penny all their life, but at least they'll be a saved penny. Praise the Lord. Why? The mercy of God in response. He said, whosoever will, let him come. Let him take. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. So let him take of the water of life freely. It doesn't say now be filled with the Spirit. Doesn't say be sealed. But it says he can take of the water of life freely. So if his face will lead him in the avenue of life to be saved, then that stream of God's grace will pour into him, and that may be all he'll be able to believe God for. Is it water of life? It is. It saved him from a devil's hell. Well, maybe he'll move to another church and they'll teach about healing and the water of life will open up a little bit more and he'll focus on, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. And then he finds out God's a healer. Oh, praise God, God's a healer. And you say, well, God don't heal them. God does heal them. Why? Because it's in the water of life. Others may say, well, you know what? The Bible says God will bless those who contribute to this, and many of them will break into that avenue of the blessings of God. And they'll say, my, I'm saved. Oh, I'm saved. Hallelujah. I'm not lost no more. I'm going to church. God heal me. God's blessing my business. Oh, man. I tell you what, I'm just drinking, drinking, drinking. But many of us sat around with the attitude, you owe it to me. I'm bright. You sound like Groucho Marx to me. You don't owe you nothing. whether you're on the bottom or the top. But they drink in that water of life. They'll live their life. They may never know about holiness. They may never know about none of that stuff. And they'll go through the tribulation period and die for what they believe is the truth. And come in this white throne judgment and stand there. And they'll cry and go into the paradise of God and live on the outside. And they'll be saved. Because they took that little branch of the water of life. And they drank it to salvation and they drank it to healing and blessings of God. And that's as far as they ever knew. Maybe you run into one of them. Somebody used to work with them. You hand them a book or a tape and they tried to, oh, I just don't understand. It's all confusing me. I tried to read that seed of the serpent or serpent's seed. Or I was so twisted around. I couldn't understand nothing about it. Don't say they're going to hell. You don't know that. You don't know them more than I know. Let them just drink. They may not be ordained to grasp the whole ocean, but let them drink. Don't try to stop the whole thing off of them. Don't be like John and them. Lord, we come by and seen some folks doing this, but they wasn't in the message. So bless God, we stopped them. Well, glory. Well, you don't believe it that way, you say. You believe it wrong. This way Jesus believes it. Watch what Jesus said. Verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. Now watch. It's going to change. Grace, mercy, offered from those in the back part of his mind to the lowest sinner that'll ever live on the earth. Even though they fit into different categories of election. Now he changes and he focuses on the book. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Now you imagine when people read these, whether it's preachers, theologians, laity, whatever it is, they will make fun of, add to, laugh at, whatever, the Word of God. They don't realize they just added to their own account the plagues that are written in this book. Now friend, this is the side of God that modern Laodiceans don't want to hear. Because they think God got saved in the New Testament. I didn't know he was lost. But to hear about judgment, to hear about hell, to hear about any of that sort of thing, they don't want to hear about that. Come on now, you know it's the truth. Most of the songs that you hear in Southern gospel music, it's about grace and mercy and love and all that. And we believe in all of that too, but we believe in this part. You see, when we take away from the judgmental character of God, we are taking away from what he is and who he is, even though it's only represented in time, but it's part of who he is reflected in time. And when people take away from that, they are adding to themselves the plagues in the book of Revelation. When they present to their people, God, well, God, you know, God loves and God understands and God knows why you can't live right. Oh, preachers preach a hell and people's going to burn in hell. Oh, we don't believe that no more. Well, we do because it's still the Bible. Amen. Watch this. The Lord Jesus, not John, but the Lord Jesus speaking, I testify to every man. The solemn manner in which he approaches this. He said, step back, John. I'll say this myself. I testify the faithful and true witness. Now this is the same word as affirmation. Jesus saying his affirmations. I affirm every man that hears this book. The prophecy of this book. Now whether they read it or whether they hear it explained. Any man that will add to these words. Now this is the Spirit of God, of course, in Scripture. Because it is belittling to God for him to say certain things about certain things. And then for man to come back around and take what God said and polish up what God said or add to what God said or lessen the degree of severity in which, in the way that God said it. God takes that very personal. Because man is exalting himself above the knowledge of God when he does it. So if God says something in a very stern, harsh way, and we simply make it softer, we've done wrong. Now do you understand this is what's happening in the message? Preachers, many of them are saying what Brother Branham said, but what they're doing is softening the delivery. And preaching it in a more genteel way, not to offend nobody. Well, glory to God. You folks going to preach with me? Why? Because we don't want to get hurt. We don't want to get our feelings hurt. We don't like nobody tromping around on our toes. We don't like no preacher looking us in the eye, bless God, and telling us, do this and that and the other. Come on now, you know it's the truth. So preachers have learned a way to say what he said, but present it in a psychological way and soften it. Just ease it in and make it, so what do you do? Make it more acceptable. Make it funny. Make it funny. You can take a very harsh statement and make it funny and watch how people will receive it. Well, glory. Now you understand this is one of the hardest things for man not to do is add to the word. It's nearly impossible. He just can't do it. Especially since we're living 2,000 years down the road since the time this was written. And things have changed. I mean, just look at our nation in the last 5 or 6 years. I look in the last 5 or 6 months how things have changed. Our Supreme Court facing several decisions right now about gay marriage and all this and the other. Don't be surprised, friends. They're going to go that way. Sure they are. If they don't do it this time, they'll do it next time or the next time. All it takes is a bunch of liberal judges and they're going to control the whole thing. Well, don't get quiet on me now. Brother Donnie, it's easy to tell you're a Republican. No, I've never voted in my life. I am not a registered voter, but most of my family on my mama's side and my daddy's side are dyed-in-the-wool Southern Democrats. But I don't care if my uncle, my third cousin, my 14th neighbor's wife's 13th cousin was Democrat. I want to stand for what's right. What's right and stand against what's wrong. I don't care what mama said, what daddy said, what the Democrats say, what the Republicans say. I want to stand with Jesus. And the last I heard, Jesus was neither Democrat nor Republican. And no, in case you're wondering, Jesus don't belong to the Tea Party neither. Notice this in Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, this is Moses, unto the statutes and the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. But by the time Jesus came on the earth, they had so added to those commandments and statutes, they didn't even look like or sound like what God gave Moses. Jesus said, you tithe on mint and rue and cumin. You know what that was? That was herbal gardens right outside their houses. So they paid tithes on their herbs, on their taters, on their maters, on the squash. And he said, but you have left out the weightier matters of the law of mercy and judgment. By the time Jesus came, you know, Moses gave them a writing of divorcement. By the time Jesus came, coming from the teaching of Hillel, a woman burnt her husband's bread, he had a right to divorce her. If she raised the tone of her voice to his mother or father, he had a right to divorce her. Remember, most of the disciples had a Pharisee background. And when Jesus said about a man and a woman being put together by God and God joined them together, and he said, my, the disciples said, my, well, if that's the way it is, a man would be better off not to even get married. They could
couldn't believe that you couldn't put away your life for any cause.
Some of the message disciples are the same way. Of course, men only. You know, men only.
Jesus had to get them straightened out first. They're going to be the preachers of this new message. But Brother Dale, they had so eroded, done exactly, and yet they stood there. Moses said, Moses said, Moses said, we're Moses' disciples.
Jesus said, if you knew Moses, you would have known me. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Already, no many more years than it's been since Brother Branham was gone, so many message people have done exactly the same thing with Brother Branham's message. The spirit that it was brought in, it don't sound nothing like what he brought. Even though it may be this quote, the fat one, the fat one, the fat one, the fat one. How much worse will it be 10 years from now, 20 years from now? But the spirit and the bride will still be saying the same thing. They'll still have the present truth for the hour. While some's getting over in this little deal and the other this little deal and that little deal. The bride's going on in her great big deal. Amen. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Loving those that don't like her. Praying for them. Displaying the love of God. In harmony. Marching right in line with the word. Notice. Deuteronomy chapter 12 verse 32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish. The whole spirit of the scripture is against adding to or taking from God's word. So watch the Lord Jesus. Now he says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophet of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Would you like to recall some of them? Hailstones that weigh 100 pounds apiece. Locusts, demon spirits coming out of hell. If any man shall add, that doesn't mean that there's five words in the sentence. It doesn't mean necessarily that he makes two more words in there. But he simply changes the meaning. A lot of folks are scared to death to add, you know, another word. They wouldn't dare do that. But they reshape the meaning. God is jealous about his word. He don't want it tampered with. Is that right? He's jealous over it. So God shall add to him the plagues that are written in the book. Now, notice in verse 19 then. Then if any man shall take away. So verse 18 is for those who will add an embellishment to the word. So the word it's not explanatory. It doesn't self-explanatory. And it, you know, well, that's terms. So we need a new version of that. We need another modern day version. I read some of these modern day translations of the Bible sometime. You don't know if you're reading a comic book or reading the Bible. By the time you get done with it, you think, Lord, have mercy. You know, give me the King James. Just take me back to where they were. Instead of polishing this man's word and this theologian and that, time they get done with it, you don't know what it means. Come on, children, it's the truth. And I realize the meaning of the explaining of the word. It can be of great help and a great benefit, but don't change the meaning. And what does most of it do? Always makes it easier on the flesh. Always makes it to where the flesh don't have to change. To where the flesh can remain the same as it always has been. That ain't what God wants. God wants us to bring this flesh a prisoner. Amen. The Holy Ghost inside the real bride will bring this body in subjection to the word. Lord Jesus, help us. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy. Now think of it. Most of the corruption of sacred scripture down through time has not been agnostics or infidels. It's been church people. They're the ones who've had the greatest influence. You realize all it takes is one preacher in the message. That has quite a bit of sway. Let him start leaning in a certain direction off the word on marriage and divorce. Or let him lean in a direction about worldliness or about this and that and the other. And people will go right toward that ministry. And that others that come back, don't do that. No, let's stay away from that. Oh, he's old fashioned. He don't know. He's not up to date. He don't know. Man, this brother over here, he's a great man. He's a big dude, big so and so and so and so. He don't ever preach that way no more. He don't make nobody mad. Shame on him. I'll tell you one thing. I want to make the devil so mad he can spit nails when I get done. And some of you too. I want some of you to be so aggravated and so stinking mad, you're like an automatic nail gun. I'm talking about your flesh. Because if I preach the gospel and I don't make Donnie mad, I need to re-preach what I just said. If I don't preach the gospel and your flesh can set your ever service and it don't bother you, there's something wrong with what I'm saying. Because whether or not you like it, your flesh ain't saved. Brother Graham tells us in question answer 64, these bodies are sin and sin don't like the truth. Well, I've been going to Brother So-and-So's church for 32 years and he ain't never made me mad. Well, either you're so hard of hearing, you ain't heard nothing he said, or he ain't saying nothing one. If Jesus is saying, get ready, and the Spirit and the Bride says, I'm already ready. I don't need no preacher telling me what to do. You live in this filthy world. You're bombarded every day with this filth. And you don't need to hear the washing of the water of the word to wash you clean? Oh my. So if a man will add, the plagues will be added to him. If a man takes away, to lessen the meaning, to explain it away, to soften, to take the sharp edges off. Subtracting from the book. Now listen to the consequences. God ain't gonna just turn you over there at the judgment seat and just swat you a good one. And just spank you. Now listen, children. This ain't just good for preachers now. This is good for you and your Facebook. This is good for you in any forum that you get on and you go to express and this and that and the other. Just remember, that ain't just a record that the government's got. Uncle Sam is watching you. Now, I don't know about you. I don't trust Uncle Sam. So what I write in my emails and not my texts, I write it so Uncle Sam can read it. Glory. Well, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add these things, God shall add in him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy, the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Not Lamb's book. So this was a person who actually had their name written in the book of life, which can be removed. And it was removed, Brother Darrell, on the basis, not that they were an infidel, but they diminished the meaning of this word. Well, it don't mean that. It's not the same. God don't require that, and God don't. Friends, do you understand? That people can come to a spot that out of their mouth, and God is removing their name from the book of life. These ain't my words. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part. Now he actually had a part. Lord have mercy. He or she actually had a part. Their name was there in the book of life. They had a part. God would have given them an inheritance out there outside the city. But they diminished. They took away from what God said in his word. Lord, help me, Jesus. What about it, preachers? Oh, Lord. God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city. He would have been allowed admittance into the city. Can you imagine people who've been around this message and are now turning their back against it and calling Brother Branham a false prophet? Everything they say on their letters and their emails and their texts and their websites, and God's keeping a record of all this. And if their name was written in the book of life, for many of them, it's already been removed. Well, come on, church. These ain't my words. Can you imagine then people who testified for you? Oh my, this great message, oh this message, oh my, it's a wonderful, hallelujah, hallelujah. Every testimony they ever said, and then they turn right back around and say the very opposite. Why don't you know all that's going to be written against them? And they try to diminish and send against, you know what folks are doing, friends? It's like I told somebody the other day. They're not just calling Brother Branham a liar. They're calling God a liar. God worked with this man for years and years and years and years. You're not calling Brother Branham just a false prophet. You are calling God a liar. You say, God, you vindicated this man. You worked with this man. God, you're a liar. Lord Jesus. God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Lord God. So subtracting, notice, adding gets you added plagues. Subtracting takes your name off the book. Your portion of the city for eternity. You would have been allowed to go up from new moon to Sabbath to live in the light of the saints, come in the presence of God and bring your toes into there. But because you took away from God's word, you took away your right to enter in the gates of that city. Now think, you're the only one that can do this. Satan cannot do it. God cannot and will not do it. God don't want to do this to nobody. But people do it to themselves. Oh my. Notice verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. And then he says, amen. Well, glory. And then John comes and says, even so, come Lord Jesus. Notice this in verse 20, he which testified these things, not the angel, not John, but Jesus. And he'll search. How quickly? Oh, you said, my brother Donnie, it's been 2,000 years. By whose clock? It's only been 2 days, by God's time. That's still quick. Glory. All unbelievers, like I said, look at that. Jesus said, I come quickly. He ain't come yet. You're looking at the wrong clock. The spirit and the bride look at Jesus' clock and say, amen. Infidels look at the world clock and say, no, he ain't coming. Hallelujah. Even so, come. Look, as quickly as Jesus says it, the spirit in John, the bride says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. This word, come, Lord Jesus, Maranathos, an Aramaic word that means the Lord is coming or come, O Lord. The early church faced much persecution. And life for a Christian under Roman rule was not easy. Let me read just history now. The Romans required everyone to declare that Caesar was God. The early Christians knew that there was only... Wasn't no Trinitarians then, was there? And in all good conscience, they could not call Caesar Lord. So the Romans looked upon them as traitors, persecuted them, and put them to death. Living under those adverse conditions, a believer's morale was lifted by the hope of the coming of the Lord. Maranatha became the common greeting of the oppressed believers, replacing the Jewish greeting of shalom. Oh, praise the Lord. Now notice, because of the time they were, amen, shalom was sufficient up to the dispensational change. But now the Spirit was saying, getting ready. And the bride was saying, Maranatha. Why? Because that's what the Spirit, hallelujah, that he was testifying back to the same thing. So when they would greet one another, it was no longer just shalom or next year Jerusalem, but it was Maranatha. Maranatha, Maranatha, what? Our Lord come. Our Lord come. This is our hope. Why didn't they say shalom? Because they knew shalom would not come until Maranatha had been fulfilled. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The followers of Jesus knew there would be no peace because Jesus had told them so. So they were speaking present tense. Now you imagine the Jews. A lot of these early Christians were Jews. So they'd go back home to see their father, and their father would say, Shalom. And he'd say, Maranatha. What have they done to you? Brainwashed you? Here you come in our home talking about Christos and talking about anointed and Maranatha. Moses never said Maranatha. You show me what Jeremiah said Maranatha. But they were speaking present truths. I want to speak present truth, don't you? Glory. Maranatha became the common greeting of the oppressed believers, replacing the Jewish shalom, peace. The followers of Jesus knew there would be no peace because Jesus had told them so. Now look in verse 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I love the meaning of these words. May the favor and powerful influence of Jesus Christ be with you. May the favor and the powerful influence of Jesus Christ. Now, I ain't got time to go this way, but I'm going to take time. Now watch. We just read the last verse of the Apocalypse. Now let's read the last verse of the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 14. Make haste, my beloved. Be thou like to a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of spices. Now what makes this so much more full is when you see that this Song of Solomon, and it's written in Bethers, B-E-T-H-E-R, which is divisions. This setting here is the seventh night, which is the last night of the marriage week. Lord Jesus. So the Song of Solomon is set out in the divisions of the work of God. Four major bethers or divisions by which God's program was brought into view. And it paralleled the setting. So they would have a festival that went on a week long. And this verse, which is the last verse, is the seventh night of the marriage week. So the bride is entreating the bridegroom to return. So here is the love song of the Bible, closing out in the last verse, saying exactly the same thing the Apocalypse says with what? Lord Jesus, come quickly. And the love song, the seventh night. Look, friend, we're in the seventh night of the seventh feast. Glory! We're in the last stage of the seventh feast when the bride is saying, oh, my beloved, oh, my beloved. my beloved. Make haste, my beloved. And actually, the same thing is set forth in chapter 2, verse 16. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Verse 17. Until the daybreak, and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved. What's she looking for? The daybreak. The breaking of the day. And the word break here is breeze, referring to the refreshing breeze of dawn in the east, or the air of life, which distinguishes morning from the death-like stillness of the night. So here is the breath now. You imagine the hot, balmy nights in the east as it was now fading away, and the daybreak is moving. And with the daybreak comes what? The gentle breeze. And they didn't have air conditioners and all that. So they long, oh glory, they long for the break of day when there would be a gentle breeze. The breeze brought life. Amen. We've been through the hot, steamy, balmy night of Laodicea, and we're coming right down to the last hours, and people's running like crazy. At nighttime is when people want to sin and when they want to go crazy. But the bride is saying, make haste, my beloved. I'm waiting for the daybreak. I'm waiting for you to come, my beloved. I'm waiting. Oh, hallelujah. I'm waiting for your breath to bring the freshness of the morning. And with his breath will come the resurrection. Prophesy, son of man. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bezer. Watch her. Watch her. She's beckoning the same thing in Revelation. Notice she's saying, turn. If you look at the Hebrew here, it's turn to me. Turn to me. Jesus ain't coming for the foolish virgin. He ain't coming to climax the final redemption of the earth in this next coming. It's who? It's coming for you. Turn to me. Turn to me. On these mountains of division, you come down through Bisa, and you've been able to close the breach. You've been able to close the book. You've been able to finish the mystery. The mountains have now been peaked. The Song of Solomon has four gardens. It has four mountains, if you're familiar with reading it. The mountains are divisions, work of the cross, which has been consummated, ending up in a people like himself. Notice she says until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bezer. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. God thundered his justice on Mount Sinai. God appeared on Mount Nebo. God's glory was revealed on Mount Calvary. But the bride's showdown is Mount Sunset. Don't wonder and marvel that so many skeptics is going to pick what happened out there in Arizona. It's part of your identity of who you are. The treetop. It's ripening right in the top in Mount Sunset. The four mountains of Bezer have been crested. We've gone down the valleys. We've come up this mountain. Down the valley, up this mountain. We're crossed until the four divisions have now been breached. Come, my love. Come, my love. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart. Jesus won't look like a 10-million-year-old God. He'll be a young man. What is it? Mating season. Glory. He's calling his mate. Remember the prophet saying there in Colorado, the blowdowns and the storms and all. The wolf pack was separate. The big bull from the cow elk. But after the storm passed over, they started calling each other. Then they listened. One over there. And then the elk. And the bull. What is it? Calling their mate. After the storm. That's bad. Don't you see? He knows. The blowdowns is all around us, but now. The mournful sounds are coming through. The storms and the blowdowns is all around us. Makes it harder for you to get through. Any of you know what a blowdown is? Some of your brothers that's hunting in Colorado, you know what it is. The winds will come through and it'll blow down trees. There's nobody in through there cutting them all down. So they lay like this and like this and like this. Everywhere. You have to step over and crawl under and try your very best. It is a job to get through them and get around them. That's where we are. We're trying to get through all the blowdowns and all the marks and all the storms and everything that's all around us. But what are we going by? Oh my, you want to follow them? You want to wind up like a lodgepole like them? Not me. I'm hearing the voice of my mate. Oh, glory. And if I've got to go across that blowdown and down that creek and up across on the other side, whatever I've got to do, I want to respond to my mate. I hear him singing and I want to say the same thing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah! Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved. Be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bezer. You see, one mountain was Solomon 2:17, God's justice. Solomon, Song of Solomon 4:8. The mountain of the leopards. Song of Solomon 4:16 and 14. The mountain of myrrh and aloes, which is Calvary. Spices. And then Song of Solomon 4:6. The mountain or the hill of frankincense by which he was anointed. But the mountains of Bezer have now been crossed for you. The divisions have been breached. It's time to go away. Come, my love. Come, my love. I hear the sound of the turtle dove. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Remember, friends, I don't know if I'll ever forget it in my life, and I heard it 20-some years ago, the first time I ever even heard and thought of such a thing in 1956. Brother Branham said, God is a lover. We'll look at it this weekend. Lord willing, God is a lover. And he wanted something to love. And he said we were not lovable. So he had to come down here among us and make us lovable. Why can't the foolish virgin go? She's not lovable.
Why can't the 144,000 marry those others? Because God never made them lovable in that way. So who's going? His lover, his wife, his queen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, in the darkness of the Laodicea night, we know how it is, Lord, when the creatures of the night come out. Lord, several years ago when Carol and I and Erica went up to New York to preach, and we got in there real late and had a delay and had to just go to the room and change clothes and go straight to the service. Didn't have time to eat. And we was starving to death time church is over. And we got out in New York, 11 o'clock at night, walking, trying to find something to eat. We saw scary sights, different things. But yet, we were so hungry, we didn't think we'd be able to make it to the next morning. So something pushed us. Lord God, I was born in the darkness of this night of Laodicea. But something, a hunger, a thirst, drove me to look and search and search. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. And no doubt there's many others that lay before me. But I can tell by the way the night is setting, there's not too many more hours. Because I can already see, just faintly on the eastern horizon, the sun is coming up. Glory. Oh, Jesus. Before long, the day will break and the sweet breeze of the morning. Oh, the balmy nights of Laodicea has been so hot and sticky. But we know the breath of the morning will come. And when he comes, it'll be the same one who said, Lazarus, come forth. And your voice will call us a resurrection. Praise God. May we be ready, Lord. Lord Jesus, if I'm the type of person that every time I go to church, I need to hear hard preaching, so be it. If you got to rebuke me, you got to whip me, whatever you got to do, Lord, get me ready, Lord God. I don't ask for no easy route, no baby-fied position. You want men and women that are solid people. Don't have to be babied around. Lord Jesus, help us to be solid. Glory to God. May we fight these last hours of the nighttime. Lord, there's something about night. Most humans have an inner fear. We can walk out in a parking lot during the day. We wouldn't feel the same way as we would in the exact same place, but in darkness. Because we know the creatures of the night. There's something about the woods in the night and sounds in the night. We're hearing the sounds in the night. Paul never heard them in his day. Luther never heard them in his day. It's the sounds of the night. I remember several years ago, Lord, and Brother Dave Swanson and I and Brother Jim was there, Lord, at that hunting camp in Africa. It was my first time to be in the African bush in the night. Staying in that little small hut that I was in and no latch on the door. And Lord, the nights, and they told us not to get out at night because leopards had been seen there. So, needless to say, I didn't rest very well that night. Because the sounds of the African night were so different than what I was used to. The sounds we're hearing now, it's different than the sounds we heard even 5 years ago. Lord, humanly it can be scary. The screams, the noises, the sounds Lord God. But we want to say, Maranatha. Maranatha. Our Lord will come. Our Lord will come. Hallelujah. As it was when Jacob met that man in the night. No doubt as he heard your voice and felt the power of your hand on his thigh, he was so afraid and trembled at the sounds of the night. The next morning, hallelujah, as he limped across the brook and he called the name of that place, Peniel, for I have seen God face to face. So the day broke with a new man going across. Lord, these old bodies are waiting for daybreak. Hallelujah! May we be ready, Lord God, I pray. How many wants to be ready? Would you just raise your hands to him? Lord, I want to be ready. Hallelujah. Oh, my beloved. You have breached the mountains of Bitha. You have closed the breach of the mountain of justice and judgment that was against me. The mountain which the leopards leaped upon. The mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we worship you, Lord God. Can we just love him just a little bit before we go? He looked beyond my fall and saw my Let's sing it together now. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus he died. So glad he did. Hallelujah. Once more. Praise the Lord.
worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for you are worthy, oh God. Hallelujah. You are worthy to be praised, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Bless your name, Lord. Bedell, you'll come take service back. God bless you, saints.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a mighty God. Isn't he wonderful tonight? Isn't he wonderful, friends? That we was in his stinking. That he made us a part of this. That the Spirit and the Bride say the same thing tonight. That the Word of the Bridegroom and the Word of the Bride is the same. And the Spirit is the same. And that we are one by the Spirit tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. There's none like him. There's none like him. He shed his blood for us. His stripes on his back for our healing. He gave his life that we can live. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, let's just bow our heads. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, that I just don't have the words to say. I'm not smart enough, Lord. I don't have a vocabulary to express to you what I feel in my heart right now, Lord. I wished I had 10,000 languages. I wished I had 10,000 tongues to praise you, Lord. Thou art my God. You brought me forth from my mother's womb and ordained me for this hour, that the evening light, that the flesh would give way to the message of the hour, and the message would walk among us. More than quotes, Lord, more than DVDs and CDs and MP3s, but a living message among a living people. Oh, you heard your prophets say, Lord, that one day you will come for this message, and we will go with it, for the message has become flesh in this hour. It is my flesh, Lord. It has come flesh in these people, oh God. Oh, and we speak back, oh God, for the word will not return into you void, but will accomplish that which it was sent to do. We call a bride, bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, spirit of your spirit, life of your life, an expression, Lord. Oh, how we praise you tonight, Lord God. Oh, Lord, may you go with us now. Oh, God, these things, Lord, may it not just be another service that we heard. But Lord, may we meditate upon these things, Lord. May we strive that the words that were spoken would become a reality in us. Bless Brother Donnie, Lord. Give him strength back to his body. Bless your children, Lord, your little bride, all around the world tonight, Lord God. We are one in the Spirit, Lord. How we thank you for the word that we have heard tonight. How we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the word that we have heard tonight. Go with your people now, Lord, we pray. But we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. God bless you, saints. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he just wonderful tonight? Hallelujah. 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 You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. To view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond all my faults and saw my needs. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me, Lord. Thank you for saving me. And saw my needs. I shall forever.